So the branch can just concentrate on producing fruit. And it's the same in our lives. Sometimes, you know, the useless buds, the misdirected shoots, the spots, the discolored leaves, anything that consumes the life of the branch, the gardener removes because it's not able to produce fruit. And there's times in our lives where stuff has to be removed. The stuff that's sapping our energy that doesn't need to be there, that takes us away from producing fruit for the Lord. Sometimes the Lord has to come in, and he's not chasing us now. He's cleansing us. He's purging those branches so that our lives can produce fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit. Understand this. There's not a single believer that does not come under one of these two categories, because the Lord says every branch, whether you are being chastened as a believer so that you can produce fruit, or you're already producing fruit as a Christian, as a believer, and you have to be cleansed so that you can produce more fruit, every branch is affected by the Lord. There are many things in and around us that can hamper our walk with the Lord. And if we begin to be fruitful for the Lord, you can guarantee that the Lord will continue his work in our lives as he just chips away and clips away and snips away at those areas of our lives that are just sapping us from being able to produce any more fruit. When we allow things into our lives that hinder our walk, do not be surprised when the Lord starts pruning. When there are certain things that he'll just take away because they are hindering our walk. Every branch, no one is excluded from the divine touch of the divine vine dresser, as it were. When the Lord is purging and purifying our lives, sometimes it's painful. You know, when you look at a tree after it's been cut back, you think, that poor thing, that'll never grow back. But the incredible thing is that the next season, the tree grows back stronger and brighter than ever before. Every branch. What is the purpose of that? So that we can bear fruit. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. In dealing with the church and its members, it doesn't always have to resort to the pruning knife. Because we have that word, that gentler method is the cleansing power of the word of Christ. That's why we are to feed upon it. That's why we are to meditate upon it. That's why we are to study it. That's why we are to apply it to our lives. If we keep the word, if we meditate upon it, study it, dwell upon it, abide in it, then its source of continual cleansing to the soul will keep us from evil, will help us when it comes to producing fruit. Hearing, believing, and obeying the word of Christ, if you like, are the springs of vital spiritual life in the branch of the vine. But not only do we see the relationship to the vine, we see the reliance upon the vine. In verse 40, the Lord said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. The place of the branch is in the vine. Understand this now, that it's not the vine that produces fruit. It is the branch from the vine that produces fruit. When the Lord uses the word abide, he is using a word to convey the idea of remaining close to one another, an intimate connection. You know, when we accept Christ as our Savior, that's where we take up our abode. We abide in Christ. That's where we make our home, as it were. When we take up our abode in Christ, Christ then takes his abode in us. He dwells within us. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is not your own, but ye are bought with a price. And we know that word temple is naos, the dwelling place of God. So he dwells within us. And apart from him, there can be no spiritual life. There can be no spiritual fruit. No man, woman, boy or girl is what it takes to live the Christian life, because it is a supernatural life. We can't live this life in our own strength and in our own power. You know, there are plenty of people who are trying and do the same. It's the same with the church. The church cannot live this kind of life except it abide in Christ. The church has no life of its own. It can flourish and bear fruit only by remaining connected with Christ. You know, we know that there are churches that are dead. I mean, you look at the letters to the churches of Asia Minor in Revelation, and you see churches like Sardis, which the Lord said, "Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." But then there are also churches like the church of Philadelphia that are abiding in Christ. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. The abiding life is to become the abounding life, a life that brings glory to the Father by being a reflection of the life of Christ. So how does the branch abide in the vine? What does the branch do to abide in the vine? Well, in and of itself, the branch does nothing. The branch just abides. The branch is just attached to the vine. It remains where it finds itself, as a part of the vine. You know, we've been placed in this body. We've been placed in this vine by God because of our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like the branch being connected to the vine, they're content just to fulfill the law of its being and receiving. It receives, you know, without going into all the stuff of photosynthesis and that, because I never did it in school, but that's just one of the words I remember from one lesson I went to in Form 2. But there's lots of clever stuff happens with leaves and sun and oxygen and maybe something to do with carbon dioxide. Okay, just looking at our science teacher at the front. Excellent. And that's why I dropped them as soon as I could. But there's lots of clever stuff that goes on. But the branch doesn't worry about that. The branch is just attached to the vine. So the branch just relies upon the vine to, you know, to get all of the nutrients it needs so that it can produce fruit. What am I trying to say? Our strength doesn't come from anything we do. We just abide in the vine. We just trust Christ. And we trusted him for salvation. We trusted him to save us, so we can trust him to keep us. We can trust him to help us when it comes to producing fruit. Fruit bearing is a passive activity on the part of the branch. If the branch will simply abide in the vine, then the vine will most certainly produce its fruit through the branch. We are not required to do anything other than abide. Just to simply abide in Christ. That frees us from having to work and to labor to get his approval. What we need to do then is to yield. That's what it means when it says to be filled with the Spirit. To yield God's control of our lives. So that we're not laboring to get his approval. We just simply yield so that he lives his life, if you like, through us. And when we speak of fruit, what will be produced in our lives when we yield? Well, we know the fruit that is being produced through us. And there's three basic fruits that the Lord bears in the lives of his children. First of all, there's sanctification. That's when we become more like him. Then there's spirituality. That is when we behave more like him. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. Then there are souls. That's when we are burdened like him. And what is the quality of our fruit? It's not the branch's responsibility. If we are abiding in the vine and he's producing his life in us, then we can rest assured that the fruit that is produced will be honoring to him. The quantity of our fruit is not the responsibility of the branch. You know, why is it we got a pear tree in the garden? You probably think, oh, my garden's pretty spectacular. It's, you know, it's for something that wants to be covered in tarmac. We got a pear tree in the garden. And again, it was given to us by our next door neighbour, because Tony's the gardener. And he gave us this pear tree, and for years, nothing. Not a single pear. And then last year, we had loads. And I was so excited to get these pears. What are they called, Joe? Conference pears. They're horrible. They're like rock solid. They're absolutely. So we're actually using them now as door stops for keeping all the doors open in the church. But anyway, it was incredible to watch. You know, you watch all of these flowers come on this pear tree, and then you watch some of the pears grow. Now, some branches had like loads of flowers but didn't produce any pears. And then other branches had a few flowers and every flower produced a pear. But not every branch was exactly the same. And can I say this? It wasn't the responsibility of the branch. Some branches produced no fruit. Some branches produced a little fruit. And some branches produced loads of fruit. Depending on which branch produces what fruit depends upon, if you like, the will of the vine. It's the same with the believer. Our duty is simply to trust in our vine, our Lord. Our duty is to simply abide. The branch is not responsible for pruning itself. That's the husbandman's duty. A branch is not responsible for other branches. You know, I'm sure my pear tree didn't turn around and go, well, hang on a minute now, I'm not happy with the fact that they're producing more fruit than me. I want to be that. You know, I would rather be more like them, and I can't believe. It's not the branch's responsibility for the fruit that's produced on the other branches. What am I trying to say? If you are a branch in the Lord's vine, don't worry about the fruit that's being produced on another branch. Concentrate on the fruit that's being produced on your branch. Don't look at the other branch and get frustrated with the fruit that they're producing. Simply trust in the vine for the fruit that's being produced. And just rely upon the husbandman that if the fruit is not being produced, he's the one that will purge us. He's the one that will lift that branch up so you have an opportunity to produce fruit. If there's a little fruit being produced, it's the vine dresser, the husbandman, that will come along and will prune that branch, enable for it to produce more fruit. So we've looked at the relationship to the vine, I can't remember what else we looked at. The reliance upon the vine. There's only 3 points and I've forgotten one of them. And now we're going to look at what is rejected from the vine. In verse 6, the Lord said, If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Now there's two schools of thought upon this verse. The one school of thought is that you can lose your salvation, that you are a branch on the vine, you're not producing any fruit. You know, the John talks about a sin unto death, and therefore the Lord will cut the branch off and he'll cast you into the fire, which is a reference to the fire which burneth forever, out of darkness, and therefore you can lose your salvation. That's one train of thought. The second train of thought then is, well, you abided in Christ, you weren't producing fruit, so therefore the Lord will take that branch away. It's not good for anything. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose your opportunity for bearing any fruit for the Lord. And this is a reference then to your works being burnt up like wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, that's the second train of thought. But I think there's a third train of thought. Because look at the words that the Lord is using. The Lord says, if a man abide not in me, he's been talking all along about us abiding in him. And now he's saying, what happens if somebody's not abiding in me? If a man abide not in me. So if you look at the pronouns that are used here, earlier on, the Lord has spoken about you. If you notice that in verse 3, 4, and 5, he says, now ye are clean through the word. Abide in me and I in you. And the branch can't bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Without me, ye can do nothing. See the personal pronouns there? Now look at what happens in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, He doesn't use ye, you who are already abiding me. He uses the word he. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. It's talking about a different set of people. It's not the fact that the branch has suddenly been removed from the vine. The branch was never a part of the vine anyway. Now, if any of you have ever done any kind of gardening or anything, you know, when you've got all of that that stuff that's lying about there in the floor, in the flower bed and what have you, you would simply take all of that stuff away and get rid of it. It goes out with the recycling. And that's what the Lord is talking about here. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth. It's useless. It's no good. It's not doing anything for the vine. It's not adding any nutrients to the soil. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here, the severed branches are carefully distinguished from the real ones. The disciples are a perfect picture of this in Judas. If you like, Judas was a severed branch. He had no attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't abiding in Christ. He might have had an attachment to the cause, but he didn't have an attachment to Christ. And then I did say there was 3 points, there's actually 4. And then finally, as we close, we see the reward. If ye abide in me, see the Lord's pronouns have changed again now. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This is not an unconditional guarantee that we can just slap Jesus' name on at the end of any prayer and have whatever we want simply answered. We can't make any demand on God and have them, have him dance to our tune, as it were. God is too loving and too wise to put the key to his treasury in the hands of carnal, worldly, sinful believers. The key to getting what we want is wanting what he wants. The key to having our prayers answered is simply praying in the Father's will. When our innermost beings are influenced by the indwelling and pervading words of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we'll be praying in accordance with his will. The Father was not glorified by these disciples within the hour. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. We know that Peter, James, and John would be sound asleep in Gethsemane. Peter would suddenly be slashing about with a sword, just lashing out at anybody he could come across. The rest would be scattered. Peter would then curse and swear and deny Christ. The other disciples would run away. Why would they do such things? His word wasn't abiding in them. It wasn't until after the event that they remembered his word. So why is it that we do the things that we do when we know we ought not to do them? Because his word is not always abiding in us. Now, we've read it. We've memorized it. We even understand it. But it's not abiding in us. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. How do we do that? If we abide in him, and his words abide in us. The reason that the vine desires to produce fruit is so that the vine dresser gets the glory. I'm trying to think where that there's a famous vine. It's not Windsor Castle. It's Hampton Court. There's like the biggest, oldest vine in the UK. It is massive. You know, it fills up, I think it's like they've had to build extra rooms on or something to take this vine. And they're quite proud of it. They stand back and say, oh, look at our vine. Look at our grapes. And that's the thing. You know, the reason the vine desires to produce fruit is so the vine dresser gets the glory. who gets the glory when fruit is produced in our lives, not us, but him. That's the one who gets the glory. That ought to be the burning desire of every child of God, to simply live our lives to bring glory to God, to produce fruit in our lives to bring glory to God. Whether ye for ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The vine doesn't produce the fruit. This is what I said earlier. The vine doesn't bear the fruit. It is the branches that are a part of that vine that produce the fruit. The vine simply supplies its life to the branches, and the branches are the ones that produce the fruit. Jesus is the true vine. His desire is to live through us so that our lives might bear fruit, so that our Heavenly Father is glorified. Here's three questions. Question number one, are you in the vine? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Are you in the vine? Do you know that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven? The only way you can go to heaven is by knowing and being a part of the vine, by trusting in Christ as your Savior. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Christ? Have you ever confessed your sins to him and believed in his death upon the cross as the only means of salvation? Are you in the vine? The second question, are you abiding in the vine? Are you drawing your strength from him? If you're drawing your strength from him, it's only then are we able to produce fruit. So the third and final question then is, are we producing fruit? Is that fruit that we produce fruit that is glorifying to the Father? Because that's our purpose in life, is to bring glory to him. Well, I thought our purpose was to witness to people. Yeah, but when we witness to people and souls get saved, who gets the glory? Not us. You know, it's God that receives the glory. And that's the whole purpose of our lives, is to bring glory to him. I am the true vine, he said. Every branch, nobody is going to escape the vine dresser's touch. If you are a part of the vine, you will either be chastened or cleansed. You will either be lifted up or pruned, depending upon where we are in terms of our bearing fruit. Are you in the vine? Are you abiding in the vine? Are you bearing fruit for the vine? Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together this morning. Father, we just pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to be mindful about bearing fruit for thee. We understand that it's not something that we force from our lives, but if we abide in you, if we rest upon your resources, as it were, then, Lord, that fruit will be produced, not to bring glory to us, but to bring glory to you. So, Father, I just pray that if there's anyone listening to this message today that has yet to be a part of that vine, that has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, may today be the day that they call upon his most precious name. Father, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, as believers, to continue to produce fruit so that you might receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we just ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask Lorraine to come at this time now, and Lorraine is going to sing In Christ Alone. Amen. Thanks.
In Christ Alone. Alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God.
Closing a word of prayer. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together this morning. Father, thank you for that sacrifice that was made upon the cross of Calvary for us. And Father, I just pray once again, if there's anyone listening to the message this morning, Lord, listening to the words of that song, that they might recognize the fact that they have never made a commitment to trust Christ as their Savior, and that if they were to die right now, lost in their sins, they would be headed to a Christless hell. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to hearts, even now as we are closing up this service in prayer, that somebody would be convicted of their sins, that they would know that there was somebody that loved them enough to give their own life for them so that they might have a home in heaven. And Father, I pray that that somebody would just bow the knee, even at this moment, confess their sins, believe that Christ died upon the cross and call upon his name as the only means of salvation. Father, I just pray then that you would bless those who are a part of that vine. Bless your branches, as it were, that we might be lifted up, that we might be purged, that we might bear fruit for the glory of God. And I just pray, Father, that you would help everything that we do would only ever bring you glory. So, Father, I pray that as we go separate ways now, you would keep us safe and that you would just bring us back again at the next appointed time. For we ask these things in the most precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.